Finance Minister Tito Mboweni has warned that the government's failure to ramp up structural reforms will result in the country losing its last remaining investment-grade credit rating. Moody's is the only agency not already holding South Africa at junk, but it did lower the country's outlook to negative last year. Econometrics chief economist Azar Shamim joins us now with further analysis. Azar, thanks so much for joining us on the line this evening. So what are you reading into this reiterated frustration around policy inertia that's come through from the finance minister?
I believe that it's a statement or a tweet made in preparation for the ANC's birthday celebrations, next month's budget, and ultimately for the National General Council in the middle of the year. Essentially, Mboweni sees the writing on the wall for this country and its economy if the kind of reforms incorporated into the Treasury strategy document that was released at the end of August is not pursued. Essentially, the structural reforms are needed in order to uplift economic growth, in the absence of which we will see a decline in tax revenues, and that in turn will cause fiscal deficits to increase sharply, which in turn will result in a ballooning of the public debt to GDP ratio and ultimately compel the government to seek not only will the government face credit rating downgrades deeper into junk status, but it will ultimately have to seek IMF assistance. And the very austerity measures that the IMF will then force upon South Africa would be unacceptable or rejected by many within the government. And the government would then be compelled to adopt print money to pay its way, and that would lead to hyperinflation, and we would end up the way of Zimbabwe or Venezuela.
Of course, you've referenced that policy paper that was published on the 27th of August by Treasury, with Treasury very cognizant of the kind of risks and what that spells for the South African economy moving forward. What are you pegging the inaction that we're seeing too, though? I mean, is it as a result of socio-political pressures or actual divide within the ANC itself?
I think it's a combination of both. Socio-political pressures mean that the poorer sections of society, who are largely uneducated, see the solutions to the economy as arising out of more government intervention and government needing to take the lead to resolve the country's economic problems, whereas we have already seen in terms of the failure of our state and enterprises just how inept government and incompetent government has become in taking the lead in running the economy and trying to produce growth. The Treasury document, on the other hand, basically calls not for an abandonment of government's role, but for seeks for solutions that involve more private sector involvement in the economy. Mm-hmm. And what the opposition that we are seeing is that if the government were to adopt more private sector involvement in the economy, many of those within government who are politically connected or friends of politically connected people would lose many of the benefits that they're currently deriving from the status quo situation that involved a lot of state capture, corruption, and questionable procurement processes.
Azar, so with all of that being said then, what do you think is going to be the catalyst for policy changes that are going to start to filter through to growth in the real economy? Because so far, lower growth, lack of investment to the extent that South Africa could be seeing, and this threat of a downgrade further into junk status isn't spurring quick enough action already.
Unfortunately, the reality is that it's not being spurred into action to some extent because the global economic environment has become more favorable, and this has prevented us from seeing the worst effects of the fallout from inaction on the currency market and on our long-term interest rates. Should there be a deterioration in the global financial environment, all of these fears and vulnerabilities would come home to roost, and we would see a collapse in the currency, a surge in interest rates, and far more poverty and poor growth emerging. I mean, at the moment, we're still managing a smidgen of positive growth. In the worst-case scenario, we would end up with massive declines of the order of 5 and 10% in GDP growth.
Yeah.
And that would result in the kind of actions that we've seen in some of the countries that have experienced those declines. Not all of them have seen an end to that decline, but in some instances, such as in Greece, a lot of pain was taken, but eventually there was an emergence from that downturn.
What are you pegging or penciling into your books right now, Azar? Do you think that a junk rating is simply inevitable at this stage? You know, with the finance minister emphatic about the fact that if we cannot effect this deep structural economic reform, then it is going to be a case of game over.
I do agree with him, and I am very much penciling in the high probability of a decline to junk status by Moody's and a decline deeper into junk status by Standard & Poor's and Fitch. The only thing that prevents me from presenting a totally doomsday scenario is that should the global environment remain positive, it's the high real interest rates that we're offering will continue to keep attracting sufficient funding to prevent a complete collapse of the South African economy.
But then a catch-22 with that triggering, as you highlighted earlier, a bit of complacency on South Africa's part.
Yes, I do. I fear that we are, in a certain respect, the strengthening of the rand in recent months, despite a whole lot of bad news, including load shedding, including SAA's woes. Despite all that, the fact that the rand has appreciated has probably led to some complacency amongst politicians and policymakers.
Well, let's leave it there, Azar. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, Azar Jameen is with Econometrics.